Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is February 19th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live over a radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find the banners on the right-hand side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on a scripture reading where we left off last week. We were in the Gospel of John, and we are in chapter 3, being read by Alexander Scorby. So John chapter 4, let me fix that. We read 3 last week. Okay, John chapter 4, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messias cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence, and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or announcements?
We have a couple, John. I emailed you a video link about Sheriff Richard Jones a couple days ago. He's Butler County Sheriff in Ohio. I don't know if you got it. The question is, has NLA seen the video report link by Sheriff Richard Jones, who is the Butler County Sheriff in Ohio, and he's speaking out. Did you get a chance to look at that?
Yeah, a couple of people have sent me that link. I did look at it, I did listen, and matter of fact, after the Q&A here, after we go through these questions anyway, we're going to play maybe 5 or so minutes of that video.
Okay. The next question, then, is from a person who is a, quote, foreign national and was stopped and ticketed by police for driving without a license, even though he explained he was exercising his right to travel. He has a placard displaying his family crest and the words Travel Trust on the back of his car, as he has a Cox Travel Trust on file with the Arizona Department of Transportation. Below that, he has foreign national, and then below that, UCC 1-308, and finally, United States of America. His question is, if I have sent my motion to the court, and I don't feel that making an argument will make any difference in this court, because I think I have a deprivation of rights, or a conspiracy to deprive rights, and possibly a failure to train claim, would it behoove me to not take a plea and invoke my fifth so that the judge can rule on my motion and then kick it up to a federal district court?
Well, first of all, you know, any argument you're going to make under those conditions, they're not going to listen to anyway. They, on the low end, don't even understand it. but that's not the way to go anyway. If you do want to make the argument, you want to challenge the jurisdiction in the court, and when the jurisdiction is challenged, it must then be decided. They're not going to decide it, so they will just try to continue on. At that point, you could make up your mind whether you want to take it into federal court for cause or not, and argue just the constitutional issue, that this is a court of record, and this is not a court of record, it's a commercial court, and you can make your court argument there that the jurisdiction is unknown. They don't even know what jurisdiction they're in. But we do know it's commercial jurisdiction. It's what it's in. It's equity. But they don't even understand that. In the lower courts, I'm talking about that the traffic court level. So, but going through all that process to become a national and so on and so forth, it's my opinion, it's really a waste of time. It's not going to get you anywhere. And at some point in time, the law is going to be restored. We won't need it anyway, but it's not going to protect you. So I guess that's all I have to say on that.
Okay, those were the only two questions that I had tonight, John.
Okay. All right, well, the queue is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue? And if you're on a phone, it's a *601. An app should be somewhere, a button to click to get into the queue. We're going to play that video. Who was it that sent that in? What was their first name?
Hold on a sec. I'll pull it up. Sheriff Richard Jones was the sheriff.
Well, doing today?
The person who sent the video in.
Oh, that was Jim Barr.
Jim, okay. All right, well, here's the video that Jim sent in to talk about. Like I said, I heard a couple of people talk about this. I don't know what state he's from.
Ohio.
He's from Ohio? Okay.
Butler County, Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, this is a really interesting video. Someone shared this with me, and I was going to play this, and I got the message from you, Jan, and, you know, I see there's a lot of interest in it, but we all should be very much interested in what this guy has to say here. He's a sheriff from Butler County, like Jan said, from Ohio. So we'll play the video. Maybe we'll talk a few minutes about what we're doing for this problem. But people have to do something. It's up to you. You know, only you can save the Republic. But here it is.
Morning, Sheriff.
Okay, we're going to shut the doors. We'll start it off with, my name is Rick Jones. I'm the Butler County Sheriff, Butler County, Ohio. I just came back from a national sheriff's training in D.C. 3 days ago, 2 days ago. We were briefed by the FBI director, Ray, the director of the FBI, and several federal agencies. There's 3,300 sheriffs in the United States. The President of the United States refuses to meet with the sheriffs of the 3,300. We have a hierarchy. We have a president. We have a vice president. The President of the United States refuses to meet with the sheriffs. He also refuses to meet with the police chiefs of the United States. They have a hierarchy also. He refuses to meet with them to talk about border issues or talk about crime that's going on because of the border issue. We were also told by Mr. Ray, the FBI director, that there are more red flags going off now than before 9/11. Okay? When I say red flags, meaning people that are here in this country that are wanting to do harm to us. We were also explained we're bombing two countries right now. Two countries. These people do not like us before this started. There's thousands of people here from other countries, 160 different countries. They're here not to be our friends. Some of them are coming because they're wanting to come here to the best country in the world, the way we see it. Some are coming here to do harm to us. And we were told by the FBI director, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We were also told five sheriffs went to Israel 5 weeks after the attack. The only thing that saved the Israelis, the government, was the local police. They were outgunned, outmanned. They came over. The Palestinians did. They came over. They killed, raped. The sheriffs were there. They talked to the police. The local police are what saved that country. You can't just call, even in Israel, you can't just call the military up and they're going to be there, okay? They went house to house, raping, killing. The Israeli police, when our guys got there, the sheriffs, said they just don't hate us. They hate you guys equally. And the same people that trained them are the same people that train people to hate us. The FBI director said when 9/11 hit, there's more red flags now than then. So, and he said, these are people that want to kill us and do harm to us. Now, so you're wondering, I want everybody to know what I know. I can't tell you everything, but I want the public to know that we are in a terrible way right now. The United States, and I'm going to get to the local, the United States, we're on the defense. You can't be just defense and not have an offense. We have no offense. We're just defense. We're absorbing these attacks. We're in other countries. We're supplying them with weapons. We're supplying them with our treasure, our money. And we're not doing much back home. So, with that in mind, we were also told that they're going, this is from the federal government, 3 days ago, they're going to attack our elections, which they've always done that, just not the national. They're going to go into the locals. They encouraged us to talk to our local election officials and be prepared as much as they can for cyber attacks. Even locally, you have to be prepared. We've been told that, again, they're coming here to do harm to us. And even in Ohio or in the United States, we're not going to be able to call and ask for help. from the federal government. They're going to be busy. The military is not coming. The National Guard, when 9/11 hit, it was all the police and the fire. And they were in total, total organized chaos. The military had the skies. And I don't want somebody to ask me, am I like Doomsday Jones? And I said, no. I'm not like Chicken Little. I want you to know what I know. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, that's okay. You can do what the Israeli citizens done. You can build a little safe house in your basement. And good luck. Now, getting to where we've been attacked here in Butler County, you're going to think, well, we've never been attacked. We have. The Russians attacked our system, our electronic system, our computer system. They hacked it. They also are trying to hack just not ours. And that we were down for 2 months, just the paper. Hacked our dispatching, hacked everything. Now, was that to help us? No, it wasn't to help us. It was to hurt us and cause chaos. As we speak today, the Russians are still attacking our computer system, just like they're attacking most of yours. But I want the public to know this. The Chinese tried to attack our cyber system here in Butler County, which includes everything that we have, dispatching for police and fire, 5 times a day. I want to repeat that. 5 times a day. The Iranians are attacking our computer system and trying to hack it 3 times a day. I want to repeat that. 3 times a day. Now, are they doing that to help us and be our friends? No, they're not. They're trying to disrupt everything that we do. And this next election coming up, they're trying to do the same. So what we're doing here is we've got rifles in every police vehicle we have. We have what we call a go bag. We have extra magazines. And we're going to start training civilians. We've offered classes to train civilians. And we're going to start training civilians on what to do when disasters hit and emergencies hit. Naturally, we can't train the whole country. We can't train the whole county. We put this up online yesterday. It's full already. We can do like 30 people at a time. We're trying to get it. And the organization that is doing that is Texas A&M. They're coming here. The federal government's paying for it. They're going to train 30 civilians on what to do when disaster hits. 30 out of 400,000 people is not much. So we're trying to get more classes. Don't want to cause fear. Don't want to cause panic. But I want the public to be aware that you are under attack. And when they're attacking, they're trying to get our cyber system. We have a grid system. Butler County does. The whole United States. Hell, our grid system goes out when it gets hot. So, and our grid system is from the 1960s. And they're trying to attack our phone system. The Chinese are flying over with their little balloons. That's not to help us and help us do some weather direction. And all we're doing is we're on the defense. We're absorbing this. And these other countries that are attacking us overseas, it's a lot of drone attacks. Getting to drones. You know the technology that local law enforcement has on drones? Zero. We can fly drones, and most police departments and sheriff's offices have drones. We can't detect drones. Hell, they look like a bird in the sky. We can't make the drones stop. We can't stop them. When you see football games on TV, the national football games, they call timeout to stop the drones. Hell, my grandkids have drones. Everybody has drones. We have no technology. The federal government doesn't share any of the drone technology with us. So what we're going to do is we're reaching out to the private industry, and we're going to see if we can get anything that can detect drones and how we can stop drones. Now, again, it's not to scare people. This is the truth. Everybody in this room, the news media, you guys get hacked. They try to hack you. One of the local channels in Cincinnati was hacked. They were down to paper for several weeks, just paper. When we were hacked, we were down to paper, our computer system, our dispatching, all hacked. Again, that's being attacked by foreign countries. You wouldn't think that a foreign country would be attacking us. The public needs to know we're being attacked every day. Now, people that are here to do us harm, do we expect? I've been to the border 3 times. People are not just turning themselves in. They're actually called gotaways. and some of them are getting through with backpacks and packs. Now, are they bringing groceries with them? We don't think so. We believe the ones that don't want to get caught, there's a reason for that. We believe they're a good, strong possibility they're bringing something here to cause us harm. You have to believe that. China has safe houses in every state in the United States. Now, after I discuss that, I'm going to take questions. But there's three things I'm going to be asking the state of Ohio to do. On the offense, not just the defense. I've reached out to State Representative Sarah Crothers, and I've reached out to State Representative Cindy Abrams, two state representatives. And I've asked them, I've instructed them, and you're going to receive a copy of it, that there's three things I'm asking the state to introduce legislation on. One is the northern border. You think that we don't have a border, but we do. We border Canada. So what happens is the border security have been pulled, a lot of them, a large portion of them, quite a few of them, to go to the southern border. So what happens when we do that? Drugs are coming back across more the northern border. People are coming across. Water and land. With that in mind, I want you to keep in mind, I'm asking that there be legislation introduced and that the governor appoint a task force to do interdiction on people and drugs coming in across our waterways and our borders into the state of Ohio. Texas has done some of the similar. So the fentanyl has decreased by 40% from Texas and moved over to Arizona. So it's coming across. I was told 5 and 8 pills that are coming across and into this country have fentanyl in them, the illegal pills. China helps the Mexican government with the fentanyl that comes into our country. Again, they're trying to help us out. They're our friends. 5,000 people die a year in Ohio, fentanyl poison. 100,000 die a year in the United States. Our government is doing nothing to stop it. We're on the defense. Number one, that we have a border security task force. Number two, I'm asking that the two state representatives introduce legislation that will also form a full-time, 24-hour-a-day cyber security, not part-time. Every department has their own. We don't communicate with anybody. If we're going to be attacked, which we're getting every day, I assume everybody is, I'm asking that these two state reps introduce legislation that we have one cyber security czar that's full-time, nonstop, 24 hours a day. They're attacking us all. Third, very important. I'm asking that legislation be introduced like in Texas, that if you're pulled over or stopped in the state of Ohio, that there be legislation, the law changed, that you can be charged with a state felony charge of being here illegally, and you can be arrested and charged. Those three things. Now, I come to you not to alarm you, but to arm you. I want you to know what's going on. None of this I've made up. This is being told to us. And the reason it's being told to us, because 9/11, they knew it was coming. And none of us knew. No communications with local law enforcement. We can't do anything with drones. We have drones, but we're going to. And we're going to do everything we can to protect our community, to keep our live squads, our fire, our dispatching. If you've ever lost your phone or your battery goes dead, everybody freaks out. Imagine if you can't use your cell phone. Now, again, they're getting into our cyber. And that's what our country, you can't pump gas without electricity. You can't pump water without electricity. So they're doing this to us. These are the three things that I'm going to ask these state representatives. I've been in communication with them. You can reach out to them. They'll be waiting for the conversation. And this is just the beginning. And again, I've instructed my IT people to start looking at ways that we can detect drones and what we can do to stop drones. I don't know if there is any technology. Our government doesn't even have enough. Now, I will take questions at this point. Any questions you got? Yes, sir.
Good morning, Sheriff Jones.
Yes, sir.
It's an honor to be in your presence today. If given the opportunity to talk to the president through your organization, the Sheriff's Association, what are some of the things you would like to talk to him about?
The question was, what would I talk to the president about if I had an opportunity to meet with him? I would ask him to please close our borders. Help us out. It's not, they're not staying in these border states where they're coming across. They're coming in. Every state is a border state. Please help us stop the Chinese from bringing this fentanyl through our border and stop all these cyber attacks. They're attacking us all. And all, we have nothing. We don't have any technology to stop it. We're on the defense. The FBI director said for every one person we have in our government, I want to repeat that, every one person we have in our government that deals in cyber, the Chinese have 50. 50 to 1. And I don't know what we're doing. I assume we're just on the defense. Please help us. It starts with the border. We've got to have our border secure. And us in the interior of the United States, we need help. We've had people that are dying every day. Everybody in this room, everybody that's listening, has a friend or family member that's died of fentanyl. Next question.
What was the response like from Representative Abrams and Carruthers when you talked to them?
They were excited to do everything they can to introduce this legislation and maybe more, and I told them it was of the utmost importance. We need to get on the offense, and if our government's not going to stop it, we got to do it here in our country. We got in our county. I'm going to ask the Butler County Commissioners, every department in our county and in Hamilton County, everybody has somebody that does cybersecurity. It's not 24 hours a day. They do it 24 hours a day. They have an incentive. They do it 24 hours a day, and they have hundreds of thousands of people attacking us every day. So I'm going to ask the Butler County Commissioners if they can get some kind of a task force or appoint one person that's in charge of this, and we all can get together and share information how we can stop this. All we're doing is defense. We can't do offense from this level, but we can sure do defense. And it's just, if you throw the dart at the board enough, you'll hit a bullseye, and everybody here, everybody's being attacked cyberly, and it's not to help you. It's to cause you grief. It's to cause you not to be able to dispatch, and then they want money from you. They want a ransom. We didn't give them a ransom, so they released all of our information. And the FBI, you know what they told us? We don't recommend ransom, but some people do it. So, next question.
You mentioned that you're going to have some conversations with the Butler County Commissioners, but have you already shared with them what you learned in D.C.?
I've shared with one of them what I've learned, and I'm going to meet with a group of them, and I'm going to tell them what I've learned, but they already see that by what you're doing here today, and the public's going to see it. We're going to put it out. We want everybody to know what we're doing, and everybody, we all need to be on the same page. We can't just have, I think the state of Ohio has a part-time person, a part-time group, and they meet on occasion. You know how much shared information we get from that? Zero. We should all be on the same information. I'm going to ask the commissioners to form a committee immediately and appoint or hire somebody. That's all they do is security, cybersecurity. Somebody that can do it, not somebody that's working in the parking garage and parking cars and they get appointed to that job. We want real people. We're meeting with experts in the field as we speak, and we're trying to share resources and gain more information. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I want everybody to know in our country that I'm doing everything that I can. I'm one sheriff of 3,300 sheriffs, but I have a very large mouth, and I want everybody to know what I know. I want you to know what the FBI told us just 2-3 days ago. This is pretty fresh information. And if you don't think that we're under attack, we are. And we train for mass shootings in schools. We train for mass shootings in the malls. But we don't train for multiple shootings or multiple attacks. And the National Guard's not coming to your community to help you unless it's a flood or disaster. And you're on your own for about 7 days. And if you remember 9/11, which a lot of you don't, they were on their own. And the police is your last line of defense, police and fire. We're training right now for hazmat. We're the police, and we've been training for hazmat. We have hazmat equipment. We belong to the Hamilton County hazmat team, and we're training for chemicals because we have people that are driving trucks in this community and all over the United States that don't even speak English. They can get driver's license. They can take a test. I don't know if they're here legally or not. So I give you that information. It's a lot to fathom what's going on, but I am asking that you put this information out to the public. The class that we had were full. It filled up last night, and we could probably do 5,000 people in that training. People want to know what they do when your cell phone doesn't work. If you've lost your cell phone in your house, you almost puke because you can't find your cell phone. Imagine not being able to use your cell phone. And imagine not being able to do dispatching. No electricity in the winter. I mean, not to scare people. It's not to alarm you. It's to arm you.
Strip, there's the play, the analogy of see something, say something to all Americans, especially in the Ohio regions, Hamilton County, Montgomery County, and the like. See something, say something. Is there a number individuals can call? They see something.
Yes,
very unusual.
There is, and we're going to give that to you before you leave. There's a number to call, and we had an incident a week ago, and we depend on the public. We put information out all the time. We communicate with the media. You help us get that information out when we're looking for people. When people are murdered and there's mass shootings and we're looking for suspects, we have to determine, can we put that out? Should we put it out? We need to put it out, and we depend on you to put that out. And if you do see something, pay attention to where you're going. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to who lives next door to you. And people are here to do us harm. And that's not a scare tactic. They are. They come across a border, and they're not coming across and all turning themselves in. These are people that are coming across to cause us havoc. You can't just be poor and walk across the border because you come from a poor country. The drug cartel controls that. They will kill you. You have to pay, either be an indentured servant or your family. They will kill you. And the Mexican government is not our friends. They're not here to help us. They're not in charge anyway. It's the drug cartel. Next question.
What are some of the basic bare necessities people need to do to be prepared? If they can't go to your class,
I'm going to tell you some basic things you need to do to prepare. Just like when the power goes out or there's a tornado, they always tell you to keep enough food and water in supply. And this isn't doom and gloom. This is common sense. You might want to look at, as far as your phones, if they're working. If you don't have electricity, they have batteries, but they're only good for so long. You might look at solar charging devices. You might look at some foods that you can get that you can just mix up, like when you go camping or survival. We're not to that point, but we need to be prepared. And you need to look at it. And you need to... Most people would freak out without their cell phones. And if you can't dispatch the police, our towers are down, they're hacking our communication system. I mean, I'm not making that up. And they're trying to hack yours. They want us to be in chaos. They're trying to hack our elections, local elections. If local elections have issues, they always talk about the national, but they want you to feel it in the heartland. Really scare the hell out of you. Next question.
You mentioned some of the training that your deputies are doing. Is there other additional training that you're looking to implement because of what you've learned?
Yes. Some of the training is the drone technology. We're trying to get that on our own because the government won't give it to us. So we're trying to get the technology there. We're looking at maybe squad training. We train for school shootings, what to do when we get there, or mall shootings. We're going to look at things a little differently. When we get there, maybe squad training. We're going to ask the government if they can share with us, but they're kind of busy. They hire the wrong people. They're just on defense. They've hired like 35,000 IRS agents. Well, good for them. I guess they need more tax money. We need infrastructure help in our country. There's going to be an additional 100 million people in 25 years in the United States, almost a third of our population. We're not building bridges, highways, the infrastructure. We're not doing anything on our grids, nothing. So we're doing lots of training, and some of this is not my responsibility. I'm not in charge of the U.S. government. I'm not in charge of the state of Ohio. But these state representatives, we do a lot of things in our government, and we fight over silly things. They tried to do an impeachment on this Mayorkas, or however the hell you pronounce his name. And there's a lot of important things to do, and nothing happens if they do that anyway. All we do is fight over silly things. We need to get together and get some things done to protect our country, most importantly, for our safety. In Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you went to school and you remember that, water, air, food, safety, right up at the top, in the top pyramid. And we are not abiding by those safety things. We are in defense, not one piece of offense. Our military is on defense. We're absorbing drone attacks, and before we attack back, we call them and tell them, hey, we're going to be there in about a week. You might want to empty your warehouse out. We need help here locally. You do, we do. That concludes the press conference at this time. We'll take any questions or anything anybody needs after it's over. Thank you very much.
Okay, but am I coming through?
Yes, I hear you, John.
Okay, thank you. All right, you know, I've heard from a couple of different places that FBI Director Wray is kind of on our side and he's kind of sitting low. I don't know how true that is, but it's kind of been interesting that he is sounding an alarm to the sheriffs. But the question becomes, what are you going to do? You know, this is our job to do something about this. It's up to us to defend our own, you know, not only our own homes, but our counties and our state, and ultimately the United States. So the question is what are you going to do? I've already tried to make contact with my sheriff. I haven't made contact yet, but, you know, I'm planning on trying to get a meeting. I want to send him a copy of this video, let him know that's what the meeting is going to be about. My sheriff already has a book, Government by Consent. He's under the understanding of common law. It's coming around. It's coming around to quite a few sheriffs here in New York State. But it's up to you, we the people, to make sure your sheriff gets educated. Let's start right there. The education of our sheriff. That's where it starts with. Now, we all need to join this campaign. We've been talking about this for quite some time, ever since the book came out, Government by Consent. And the book was written not only to educate the people, but also to educate our sheriff. And there's a large chapter in this book on sheriffs, what their true duties are, and how they're supposed to behave, what their real purpose is. So everyone needs to join this. I'm going to send out an email to the many of people that don't come to this meeting, and I'm probably going to put this particular tonight's program up. I'm going to maybe put it up on our website in video form. You know, we always put it up in MP3, but we'll put an MP4 up there probably. I'm also going to attach a copy of this video, and we're going to send that out to all of our members. We have a little over 11,000 members. So hopefully a lot of people will start to take action. You know, it's very unfortunate that many people, you know, they think the other guy's doing it, so they don't have to worry about it. I'm here to tell you, the other guy's not doing it. It's up to you. We got to do it. And if we don't do it, then we deserve anything we get. As for me, I'm preparing myself. I know what I got to do. And I'm going to make sure my sheriff knows what he's got to do. I want to know what the other sheriffs are doing in the county surrounding here. Are they aware of it? You know, and I'll visit them too. You know, I know people in other counties. I'll talk with them, and I'll visit other county sheriffs with them and do the very same thing. But that's what you have to do, not just your own county, but all counties. So everybody needs to join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. I know things are tight. I know, you know, money's tight, and people are very careful in what they spend their money on. But I think $39, which is the cost of this book, and it's a hardcover book. This isn't a paperback. This is a hardcover book. You know, we switched over from paperback. I don't sell paperbacks no more. I stopped that sale. I even sell this book cheaper. This is $39. The paperback was $45. I didn't have control over those costs. So we're not in here to make no big profit. We're in here to educate the people and to survive at the same time. But this book is 550 pages. It's extremely important. It teaches the Constitution. It teaches us them about the our founding documents and our founding fathers. It teaches them about their authority as far as the sheriff is concerned. It teaches the people common law. And so we need to know it. Our sheriff definitely needs to know it. Our sheriff definitely needs to understand there's a problem going on. Now, he said that a little over there's probably a little under or about 3,000 sheriffs in the United States. So I don't know how many of those sheriffs actually went out to that meeting in Washington, D.C. It is quite a travel to go, so I suspect not many of them, but I don't know. In any event, we need to make sure our sheriffs know and that we know, and we need to do something. We need to do the things that this sheriff's talking about in our counties. So people, you need to do something, not just come to a meeting, not to just, tweet and talk about these things, but actually do nothing to really solve the problem. That's the purpose of NLA, is to solve the problem. And if we had committees of safety already up and going, this problem would already be solved, because that's part of the process of committees of safety, is connecting with the sheriff, getting the militia back up and going, taking control of local government, taking control of all our representatives. That's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, to teach people how to do that. Not to control them, to teach them, to be here as an advisor. So anyway, people need to do this. Click on the book, Government by Consent, and you'll get some information on this. And send a copy out to your sheriff. Just follow the instructions. Download Sheriff Darleaf's endorsement letter. He's really far involved. He's already got the militia active in and operating and actually doing things in his county. Very few sheriffs are doing that, but he is. Our sheriffs should be doing that. So we need to prepare. So also, NLA wrote a letter to the sheriff. So when you get this book, you should put these two letters in there. They're signed, one by Sheriff Darr, and I signed one on behalf of National Liberty Alliance. Both these letters need to be put inside the book as you give it to the sheriff. You know, and before you meet him again, would you want to connect on the phone call, let him know you send him an email, you want to send him a YouTube video, you'd like to come in and talk with him. And you should get as many people as possible connected, you know, go down to this meeting with you. So give him a heads up. First, make the phone call, get him on the phone, tell him you want to meet up with him, get his email, send him a copy of this video, let him know that we're going to talk about him, sending you a video for YouTube video. I think that was on YouTube. I'm not sure. Was it? Yeah, it's on YouTube. Okay, so, send him a copy and then go meet him. But also buy the book. Have the book with you. Or get it to him beforehand if you can. But either way, get a copy of the book. Get that into the sheriff's hands. For $39, that's the cost of liberty. That's the cost of educating your sheriff. We can all dig up $39 to do this. And we can all dig up time to be able to go sit with our sheriffs and find out what he's doing and what we need to do and how we can help. This is a real serious problem. I've been hearing about this for a long time, and it's really starting to get serious. Trump has been telling us for a long time, we're heading for war. You think it's not going to come to our land? You know, America has never really suffered war. You know, the 9/11 thing was just a snapshot of what could happen. If you've got, we don't have thousands of terrorists in this country. We have millions of terrorists in this country. And I got my information from Congress. Because there's congressmen that have spoke about this and said that over 20 million people have come illegally into this country, and a large percentage of them are terrorists. They don't have anything good in their minds for us. and all of these things, for instance, the hacking. I've been noticing this has been going on. I've been noticing that I've never seen this before, but this hacking going on, they've hacked down a couple of times. Just recently, over the past month, a couple of times, Rumble has been hacked down. My phone system has gone off from time to time. I'm wondering if that's a hack also. You know, EMP is another problem that we have to worry about. We spoke about that. We've got a lot of information on that. People, if you want to protect yourself from an EMP, and don't think an EMP can't be blasted here, some kind of a detonation up into the atmosphere and shut down a whole bunch of things. And you won't be able to get out to drive your car. You won't be able to turn on if you think I'm okay because I've got a generator. You think that's going to work? That ain't working either. And by the time the electric's going to go down, if an EMP blast happens, you know, there's a concern about a solar flare because 2025 is supposed to be a big year. The sun is anticipated for a flip, a polar, a pole flip. And that happens every so often. I know the sun goes into craziness every 12 or 13 years, something like that. And I think it flips every so many years also, every 12 years or so. And when that happens, there's a lot of solar flares that hit out. And, you know, we'll hear about it, and you got like less than 24 hours to respond to do something about this. You have to protect all of your electronics, everything turned off. Doesn't matter what you do with it. Unplug it, doesn't matter. It's going to fry. Your cars are going to fry. Everything's going to fry. So if that happens, you need to be protected. And, you know, Trump has already dealt with this problem. He's protected the electrical grid. The satellites have already been protected. We lost 20 satellites not long ago, about a year ago maybe, from solar flares. They were just launched up, and they didn't have time to click into safety mode when they found out about the solar flare coming, and those 20 that went up came down just as fast as they went up, burned up in the atmosphere. So, you know, these things happen, and we don't know when or if it's going to happen, but, you know, generally, collectively, a lot of this stuff is going to happen. So we need to do something. You can get an EMP protector. Trump put this whole thing out. As a matter, we got a lot of information on this. If you haven't seen this stuff, you need to get up here and look. Click on the solar flare EMP, and we set up a page with videos on it, give you a lot of information. We can get this page open. There it is. Okay, the EMP shield. Maybe we should play this video. We played this before. I believe it's, let me see how long this is. See how long this video is. I think it's a short video. But maybe we'll play this again because it's so important.
Some people ask it.
Hold on. It's only 5 minutes long, so we're probably going to play this. But there's a lot of other videos here we haven't played, and you're going to want to watch this on your own. You need to become educated on what's really going on. Let's talk about the Carrington event. And we're due for a potential Carrington event. It could happen. And here it is. 2025 may be the worst time. Even worse, going back as far as the Carrington event. Back in those days, there wasn't any electronics per se, but there were the telegraph wires. They fried up. Some people died. Things were turned on fire. And that's just from the telegraph wires. Okay? Solar storms. Now, there's a lot of information on how to hook this in, how to hook this up. There's information on how this process worked, how do you protect your car, your generator, your home, and anything in your home that is plugged into your home when you have this protector on is safe. You don't have to put it into, what do they call it, Faraday cage? How does that pronounce? Anyone know? Faraday cage, I think it's pronounced.
Faraday, after the scientist, yeah, Faraday cage.
Faraday cage. So I've got those Faraday, what would you call them, little pouches. You can buy them on Amazon. They're pretty cheap. And I've got them for my laptops that I don't have plugged in. I have one laptop plugged in all the time, and my other computer is plugged in all the time. So all that is protected because I got the EMP protected, even protects you from lightning strikes. But as far as my other laptops or my additional hard drive, because I keep quite a few copies of all the work I do, I've got all that in these Faraday, I don't know what you would call them, pouches, I guess. And I've got one on my generator. It won't work on a generator unless you have a battery on your generator. If you have a generator that doesn't have a battery on it, maybe there's a way you can hook up a battery. You'll have to contact these people. But maybe there's a way to hook up a battery just for the sole purpose of giving it juice and making the connection into your generator and so on. Same thing with a car. I have one on my firewall in my car. I put one on my car. So my car is protected, and my generator is protected, and my home is protected, and all of my electronics is protected. You know, you're going to want, if you get a bag, you get a small bag, like these bags are cheap, like I said, but you get a small one, throw your cell phones in. You will know when there's one heading our way, if you're paying attention. If you're not paying attention, then you won't know. But if you keep an eye on what's going on in the news, I generally do, you'll hear that, hey, there's a solar flare heading this way, and so on and so forth. And you get like a 24-hour notice, depending on, I guess, the position of the Earth and so on and so forth. But EMPs are important to be protected from. But the most important thing for us to do now is to deal with our sheriffs, to make sure that they get this message from, you know, and that we are involved somehow to make sure that we know what to do when this time comes. You know, I know a lot of us have to be. I know I have for quite some time, always putting food away and additional things, you know, preparing for the worst because it's coming. And Trump said it's coming. It's going to hit America. You know, he's talking about, well, I'm not too sure whether he mentioned this, but he might have. Others have, anyway, if he hasn't. A potential, you know, an atomic blast somewhere. Again, for the purpose of an EMP, maybe. Or maybe, you know, off the shore somewhere. You know, who knows? But we need to be prepared. And people are not taking this serious enough. There's enough news out there. I think it's time for people to start waking up and start taking this serious. So, but let me play this five-minute clip, and then we're going to go right to open forum. We've got about an hour, so well, it's a five-minute clip. I know we've played this before, but it is important. I'm going to play it once more. And again, people should go to this page, watch these videos, read up on the information. Again, Trump has protected the our grid already. The entire grid of the United States started to be protected back in 2019. He set forth the motion in 2017. They came up with these EMP protectors, you know, they got it out there, and the electric companies were supposed to notify people of the problem so that they would put these protections in their house because the grid is not going to protect your house. You have to protect that yourself. And this is really simple. I mean, look, it took 15, 20 minutes to install this. That's all it took. I installed it myself because I have a little bit of knowledge of electricity. I'm a contractor. I have kind of a lot of knowledge of different things. And so house electricity, I understand a little bit. But, you know, even if you had to hire an electrician, he shouldn't charge you any more than an hour's worth of work, whatever the electrician in your area is getting an hour. That's about it. So very simple thing to hook in. There's a video up here going through how this whole process came together. They talk about it right here, the detailed information on the connection with these people who were contracted by the government through Trump to solve this problem and get something out. And they did, and it's out. It's up to you to do something about it. Okay, the other thing, let's go up here. And also, they tell you exactly how this thing works, too. So there's a lot of information on this page. Let's listen to this for 5 minutes, and then I think we're going to go into open forum. Here we go.
Question. What is the biggest disaster of 2012, if we had a crystal ball? Well, first of all, let me tell you what's probably not going to happen in 2012. We're probably not going to see Armageddon, Doomsday, the end of the world, the apocalypse, even if you look at the Mayan calendar. Now, if you look at the calendars of many indigenous peoples, you realize that their calendars were cyclic because they were very close to Mother Nature, very close to the cycles of the weather, the cycles of the planet. And therefore, one cycle ends and another cycle begins. But unfortunately, I think Westerners saw something, hijacked it, realized they could make best-selling books by talking about the end of the world, and the thing began to have a life of its own. So let's take a look at some of these prophecies. One says that perhaps another planet from outer space will come near the Earth, disrupt the whole solar system. Well, let's be blunt about this. We don't see anything out there at all. In fact, you have to go way beyond Pluto before you find objects that are the size of Pluto, and they are billions upon billions of miles in outer space. So we're not going to expect to see that happen. Another group of people say that perhaps the Earth aligns with the center of the Milky Way galaxy where there's a black hole. Well, just remember that that happens once a year. And the black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy is tens of thousands of light years away from us, and we simply orbit in a stable orbit around the black hole. Now, one danger, however, that we have to look at more carefully than before is the question of catastrophic solar flares. That's something that has been poo-pooed, but we now realize it's actually more dangerous than we previously thought. If you take a look at the record, If you go back to 1859, that is the famous Carrington event. Carrington was an astronomer. He noticed unusual activity on the sun, and then all hell broke loose on the planet Earth with regards to telecommunications, specifically telegraph wires. All of a sudden, telegraph wires that were dormant sprung to life and would transmit signals all by themselves. Some places, fires got started because telegraph wires were overloaded. The aurora borealis, usually seen near the North Pole, was seen over Cuba, for God's sake. And it turns out that you could read the newspaper at night in Cuba by the light of the northern lights. Well, I'm a physicist. We can then use these bits of information to go backwards and calculate the intensity of that solar flare. And the corona mass ejection was incredible. In fact, if it were to happen today, which it won't, but if it were to happen today, it would wipe out most of our satellites, short-circuit their machinery. We would black out our weather satellites, GPS systems, telecommunications, the internet. Power stations would be vulnerable. They would also be short-circuited and wiped out, not just in one city where other cities come to the rescue, but in cities simultaneously across the entire planet Earth. Refrigeration would be knocked out for perhaps weeks at a time. There could be food riots as a consequence. Ordinary simple business transactions will be halted because you can't make a credit card transaction because the telephone wires are out. Society as we know it will be thrown back perhaps 100 years into the past. Now, of course, we don't expect another Carrington event to take place every year. But every 11 years, the North Pole and the South Pole of the Sun flip. When the North Pole and the South Pole of the Sun flip, it releases a burst of electromagnetic energy called the sunspot cycle that then eventually hits the Earth. We now know that if you look at the solar activity of the Sun, these solar sunspots are like rifles, and they will eject huge bursts of energy like a rifle. But the Earth is very small, and outer space is huge. So for the most part, we dodge the bullet. But going back in the history books, we now realize that many times in the past, the Earth came close to being hit. In fact, just a few months ago, one of these bullets grazed the planet Earth, did not hit us. So the physicists of the American Physical Society, my organization, an organization of about 30,000 physicists in the United States, have petitioned the United States Congress to spend a few $100 million reinforcing our satellites, creating redundant systems, reinforcing our power stations, building the protocols by which we can create an electronic infrastructure that would withstand another Carrington event. No one knows when the next Carrington event will take place. Maybe in 1,000 years. Maybe in the next solar cycle, which begins in late 2012. Who knows? It's Russian roulette, but it means that our society as we know it is potentially endangered. We are sitting ducks to a potential giant solar flare.
Okay. And by the way, that video goes back a while, so before 2012, and what those physicists did to notify the government to do something about it, well, guess what they did? Nothing. But Trump, in 2017, when he came into office his first year, he started dealing with this problem. And again, it's been solved only on the grid. But your home is in jeopardy. A couple of things. You know, if you order an EMP protector, you get $50 off by going through us, clicking on that link. You'll follow the link, and you'll get $50 off. And also, NLA gets $50 for everyone that's purchased. So it's a good deal, and it really helps us also. It helps us to support the pay our bills. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to cover before we go to the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue, again, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on one of the apps, you should be able to see a button somewhere to get into the queue. All right, I guess that's about it. So that's what we'll do. We're going to go to the queue. Let's see who's in here. Okay, we'll take our first person. Question, let's see, Asula. you got the mic. Go right ahead, Sula. And you're from Missouri.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I was just, I just need to ask for for a friend of mine that she said she had her house was taken from her in 2009, but she tried to find somebody to help her to take to court, and but she ended up getting do anything. So is that, can she do an affidavit even though she didn't have a court case or what?
Well, I think a lot of things could be done for people who've lost their homes, but not right now. I would say wait until after devolution, because I think devolution is going to repair a lot of this problem, because a lot of the problems is the fact that people have had their homes stolen. A lot of people have been in jail unlawfully. A lot of things are in place. And so when they take out the elite, and there is a lot of them, and they own all the major corporations, they own huge amounts of things, they've got liquidity, they got gold, they got silver, they got properties, they got corporations. So all that's going to be seized and auctioned off to the people, and then all the monies that would come in for that, we're talking not millions, not billions, we're talking trillions of dollars. We're all casualties of war, so that there's no logical place for that money to go but to the people. Okay, and if a government was trying to keep that, then we just changed one corrupt government for another. So, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I do believe that people are going to be restored handsomely for their losses and for pain and suffering, because again, we're all casualties of war. But we're not the only people. The people of the United States, we're not the only people that have been injured by these people, by this new world order. People all over the world have been, and so they too will share in that particular situation for restitution. So, and by the way, we've got two people in the queue. If anybody wants to get into queue, now's the time to do it. *6 and 1 if you're on the phone, and you can hit the button if you're in on an app. All right, else?
Great. That's it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. We'll probably focus in on something on the other side of devolution also to make sure some of these things happen. I mean, we're working to get back our judicial system on the federal level, and that'll really go right down into the state levels also at some point. But that'll happen relatively quickly, I think. But the key is to get into the courts, to get our courts of justice back. That's primary number one. But also, once we get courts of justice, then, we'll assist people however we can. But remember, we're only a couple of people here trying to handle a lot of people's business. And people really need to handle this kind of stuff themselves. And anybody that wants to handle this stuff, their business themselves, now is the time to get educated. Because, again, this is, we're not going to be on the other side till probably the end of this year. I mean, I think by the time we go through the next election, and again, we may not have an election for a while. It may be stalled out because of what we're talking about tonight. Hopefully not. I understand. I've heard rumors. I know Dave reported on this, Dave from X22, and some others that they're ready to move with paper ballots anyway because they believe it might happen. So we'll probably still have the election one way or the other. And once we get on the other side of devolution, when the military makes its move, that's when we got to do something. That's the key. So if people are preparing now, getting their knowledge now, okay, preparing and understanding how to deal with the courts and with us here at National Liberty Alliance advising people, you'll have a good chance to take care of some people.
Can I ask you about your book? For the one that we were supposed to get for the sheriff.
Yeah.
I have given one to one of the sheriffs, but there was another sheriff that, he said he wanted to. Can we order those books through NLA or we have to go through Amazon?
Well, yeah, you want to go through here. There are people, that are still selling the soft cover books.
Okay.
Other companies that have purchased large quantities with so many books, and then they come out online, different places, stores, and they sell them. But I'm trying to shut that down as much as possible. But I'm the only one selling the hardcover. So if you go on to, what is it?
Amazon,
because it's being sold up on Amazon. If you go up to Amazon, just make sure you're buying the hardcover book, because the hardcover book is definitely the one that's for $39 and you're selling it. And it's quality. But you can buy it right off our website, because all you have to do is click on Government by Consent book. Out of the website.
Yeah, I prefer to do that. Yeah.
Click here to order. Okay.
So okay.
And you go right to the page where you can order it for $39.95. Okay.
Okay. I prefer to do that. So, I don't like going on Amazon to do that. So, but I'll do that then on the site. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
The best way is definitely to go through the website. The other put access in the common law. That book's available also. Same thing. You can read about the information. You see the table of contents. Even on this one, I think it is, we have a first course. Well, that's actually in the course. This is just the book. But in any event, again, you can order this right off of this page. Just click here to order the book, and you'll get it here. And again, that's $39.95. This is also a 500-page book. It's 8.5 by 11, so it's a huge book. And it's hardcover also. So.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And let me just make one other note, you know, for people who want to prepare for this, which you should be, you know, knowledge is power. And no matter what happens, you should have this knowledge. But especially people who want to go do something legally when the time comes. You go to our education page, Education Starts Here. Okay, and you can come down to Court Access in the Common Law course. Click on that link right there, and you get all the information to come into the course. It's this course is more in depth than you would learn at a bar school, with the exception of the fact that we don't teach civil law, but we do discuss the civil law processes. We do discuss their rules and the corrupt rules that are repugnant to the Constitution. We discuss that. We also deal with, well, we talk a lot about, we show you how due process works in the court. And that works out well whether in a civil law court or a common law court. Civil law courts don't belong in America anyway, but they're also called chancery courts. But nevertheless, due process is the same as a procedure. And that procedure we do teach, and we also teach the common law, rules of common law. So, again, there's a lot of information here about the course, by the book, course, and we do give the first class for free. You can watch it right here on the page. You can sit down and watch. It's like each one of these videos is between 3 and 4 hours long. It's a total of about 90 hours altogether, the course, and it's in-depth with a lot of information. This one here is 3.5 hours long, and this is the introduction to the Court Access in the Common Law course, and there's a lot of information in this. The other thing on this course page, on this page, if you come down, once you get into the course, this information is available for you indefinitely. It'll always be there. You can download whatever you want. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But it'll always be here. You come down to the Court Access and the Common Law course link here, and once you join, you'll get these two links. These two links will now show up on your computer. If you go out there right now, you'll see they don't show up. But once you're in, these two show up. This here is the video course. You click on that. And you then watch the video course in whatever order you want, whatever time, however, whenever you want to do it, and you can go through the whole course. There's quite a bit here. Again, there's over about 90 hours of total course. The other thing, we also have a Court Access table of contents, and on this page is a table of contents of everything we got, but it also gives you all of the documents, okay, all the forms, everything necessary, everything necessary to go into a court, file a complaint, really an action. You don't want to file a complaint. A complaint is civil law. We're action at law. That's common law. So you want to learn about this and how the process works. You want to learn the proper things to put into your paperwork to make sure that you're getting a jury trial by a trial by jury by an untainted jury. So we lay all this stuff out here. So you should be getting the knowledge. And then by the time when next year comes around and you want to go into the courts to deal with your problems, you'll be able to deal with them. And again, we'll be here to give you some advice. We can't get into a lot of details of people's specific problems in the case itself, but procedurally we can help you. Writing papers, we can direct you to different places and different things. There's a lot of examples in the course. There's also a lot of examples of writing papers right here under federal court cases. We have different actions we filed. Reading our actions at all is an education in itself because it teaches you how to write, gives you information on the lingo. But a lot of information under this particular, tab here, federal court case. So.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller. Again, we don't have many people in the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and hit that tab if you're in a an app. Okay, take our next caller. It's Kathy. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. This is Kathy from Minnesota, Kathy Cooper. I had my court hearing on that bogus cracked windshield that allegedly happened from ice blowing from my car. That was on Monday the 12th was the court hearing. I had a lawyer on Tuesday before the hearing, and then she said she was going to represent me, and she said she was going to represent me pro bono. And then on Wednesday, she changed her mind. She said she talked to her law partner. I didn't even know she had a law partner, but she said her law partner didn't want her to take the case so close to the hearing, the court date. So I represented myself, and it was the most kangaroo court I've ever seen in my life, and I've been through some kangaroo courts. So of course, the judge found me guilty. The good news is in December they reduced it from a misdemeanor to a petty misdemeanor, so it will not go on my record, and there's no possibility of jail time. So it's just the equivalent of a parking ticket is what a petty misdemeanor is. I have not talked to the lawyer that was going to represent me yet. I've not talked to her to find out. I would like to find out if what my options are. I'd like to find out if there's a possibility of appeal. Do you have any idea on how I could find out what my options are now that the judge has found me guilty? It was...
You do have a lot of options, but again, you want to deal with those options after you're more educated. I know you've taken the course or you're in the course, and you need to really bone up as much as you can on the course because that's key to be able to deal with the problem. But let me ask you before I suggest some things. What's the fine? Is it a fine or is it...
$100 fine. I've already... And plus some court costs or something. $100 fine. I've already lost $200 bail. My bail is forfeited from when I was arrested on this one of the warrants. They put out 3 warrants for my arrest. So it's cost me quite a bit. It's cost me the entire probate case in Iowa. I filed for probate in Iowa where my husband resided, and they held a hearing the same day in Minnesota and the stupid windshield case, and the same day there was a probate hearing in Iowa. I requested a continuance in Iowa because my lawyer withdrew without my permission and without my knowledge, and because there was this dual court date. So the judge in Iowa did not grant my continuance, and they threw out the probate case, is my understanding. So it's had some really, really serious ramifications to me.
Right.
Well, I, one good One good thing I didn't tell you yet, and I just found out, I filed it with my insurance company. I seriously think this is a case of insurance fraud. I think the woman, and I also think it was a setup by my former employer who fired me when I wasn't even working. I had issues with my former employer at the school bus company, and I seriously think it was a setup. So the good thing is I filed it with my insurance company, albeit the day before the hearing, but I do believe the insurance company is going to go to bat for me. But they have to see the whole court file and stuff like that. But this never should have happened. This never should have gone this far. It didn't meet the definition of an accident. So I was not responsible to give my insurance information to anybody. It didn't meet the definition of an accident. Several law enforcement officers have said that.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. When they actually arrested you on this windshield thing, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, when they arrested you, they threatened you with a misdemeanor at that point in time, right?
Yep.
And they let it be known to you that could entail a jail sentence.
Yep.
Okay. From that point forward, you know, that makes it a big deal because they can't come out after you for anything without a grand jury indictment, okay? And even though they downgraded things, they downgraded it because I think they realized there's only so far they can go with this. And they're really in it for the money. That's what this whole thing is about when you think about it, $100 plus whatever. And a loss of your $200. You put $200 up for the bail?
Correct.
Okay. So I would say, and I encourage everyone to do this because you never know when you're stuck in a situation. You need to know the law. If you're not going to learn it from us, then you need to go somewhere else to learn it. But you have to learn the law. You have to understand due process. You have to understand how the system works. You have to understand jurisdictions. And you can sue them for being hijacked into jurisdictions unknown. And they terrorized you. I actually used that kind of language. They put fear in me. They actually arrested me for this. And they went through this process, and I put up bail, and then they didn't give me my bail money back. And then they turned around, and they said, we'll drop it down to this. So you paid it under duress. I mean, I go through all that. All of this is stress. And so you could sue for a denial of due process. You could take that into a federal court and sue that way. That's one. But again, I wouldn't do that until after devolution plays out. The other thing you could do, there's a second thing, and this would be for people who are less educated or don't feel that they can articulate themselves well enough, then you could pursue it from a different angle, and that is to go in after their oaths and bonds. And we do teach how to do that, but they still give you a hard time. I'm going through a case right now where I'm getting a lot of hard times. If you could appeal it up the process when a judge or someone denies you to give you the copy of their oath and bonds, and that includes attorneys too. So a prosecutor, of course, is an attorney, so you can go after the prosecutor also. Anybody that's an officer of that court, they got oaths and bonds. So you could chase that, and then you can get a hearing from them, which is a lot more, it's much more, you know, it's informal. You don't have to be too legalistic. You don't have to know much about law, but you have to just tell your story the way it is and make your point and understand what it is you're looking for. Now, I don't know what the limitations are there. You know, for a denial of a right of due process and putting going taking you through the fear and everything else, I know I could build a strong case in the federal court, and you can get quite a bit of money from that. You know, for every denial of any of your unalienable rights, you could start off with a bare minimum of $1,000 face value, silver coins, face value for each incident, and you can also go more higher and higher as you go, depending on what you can lay out as far as damages and stresses, damages, and so on and so forth. So you may be able to get more. Restitution in a federal court possibly than you can with going after bonds. But I really don't know that. I don't have any experience with the bonds other than to know how to go chase the process. And they do ignore that a lot. You have to, you go into a court and you chase the bonds and they refuse to give it to you, you have to appeal the order that's denying the bond, the oath and the bond. You have to push it into court so they'll give you a denial. If they don't give it to you, they have to put a denial through an order. Okay? So once they do that, then you can appeal the order, you can move it up the line, and you should be able to get satisfaction because the law requires them to respond. The purpose of an oath is that they're going to obey the law, and we have every right to know that they've done it. They should have a place where people can go look it up online to say, oh, here's their oath, here's their bond, or they got it, and you should be able to pull it and get information. But they hide it. They don't want you to know. When we get to the other side of devolution, we're going to push for that process so that people can have availability of that. Bonds are there for the sole purpose when they break the law, number one, or they injure you. And maybe they didn't mean to injure you, but you got injured. Well, they have to be protected by a bond because you can sue them, and you have a right to sue them. It's a civil case, which, again, is under common law and not civil law. But in any event, these bonds should be made available to us. And again, there is a way to get that eventually going through the processes. And again, it's things that people need to learn in order to be able to protect themselves and to accomplish the goals of getting these bonds and getting restitution. So,
is there a statute of limitations on suing somebody? And could I sue the woman with the broken windshield? And could I also sue the police officer who lied twice? I call it lying. She calls it a mistake. She said she gave me the citation in person. I mean, she checked the box that said she gave me the citation in person, and she never, ever met me. And then in the next page, she mailed it to the wrong address. There's two major mistakes in the citation itself. So could I actually...
If you have all the documents, you can add that into your case and pursue that also. As far as the individual whose windshield got broken, now who paid for the windshield?
She claimed that her insurance did, so there was no reason to come after me at all for any of this.
Well, that's true, too, yes.
She claims that, but I don't believe they did, and we'll find that out. My insurance company called her. She hung up the morning of the thing. Her boyfriend answered the phone and hung up on my insurance company, but they will find out. Do not think for a second that they fixed her windshield. I mean, that's why I think this is insurance fraud. So I contacted the insurance fraud, Commerce Fraud Department.
So you were driving in front of her or something, and she saw the ice come off of your car and hit her windshield?
That's what she claimed. It's referred to as an act of God. It is not an accident. It doesn't meet the definition of an accident.
Hold on, not necessarily so, because they could make a case on this. So you got to be careful. You may not want to chase her down. What you're going after is the judicial process that they use to assault you, and that's what they did ultimately. They assaulted you. They arrested all this crazy. That's a definite. Thing you can go after. If you go after her, the question becomes, well, if there was ice on your car, was there snow on your car? Or was there ice in your car? All that. The question becomes, if there's ice on your car and you drive that, eventually ice is going to come off. And so you can be held under common law liable for that, and just that you wouldn't be careful and you should have taken the ice off the car because you're going to be driving it on the road and the highway, so on and so forth. But whatever the situation with that is, it is what it is, so you have to think that out. So I'd be careful with that. The other thing, again...
She has no proof of this. It's just her word. There's no evidence.
Okay, again, it is a hearsay. He says, she says, that is true. But the other thing, remember this, and this is something, I can't believe how many people go to jail with this. I just cannot believe it. The lawyers are brain dead. I have no idea what's going on. In order for there to be a crime, there's got to be intent. I can kill.
Oh, yes.
I can kill.
John pointed that out, like the day after the hearing, John said that. And I said, oh, my gosh, you're right. There's no intent.
Yeah. Well, look, at I could kill somebody. And if I didn't have intent in doing that, it just happened. However, vehicular homicide. They actually put people in jail for that. They have this one woman, which I've told a story numerous times here on our program here, where a woman forgot she had a child in the car and went shopping and got lost.
Yep.
What was going on?
Yeah.
Not the child was dead. My God, she's been punished enough. And who are
right.
they? There was no intent. They have to prove that woman had the intent to leave that baby in the car and kill her kid, and that's what they'd have to prove. And they didn't, and they couldn't. But what's wrong with these lawyers if they don't realize this? Intent is a requirement. You know, even with what they're doing with Trump, there has to be intent. They have to prove intent anyway, and they can't even prove that. And there's no crime there with him anyway. But look at that is the key. Now, as far as, statute of limitation, okay?
Yes.
In common law, there are no statutes, so there is no statute of limitation. The only thing that limits the case in time is the memory of people and the evidence, maybe people dying who are witnesses. You know, if you can't gather your evidence, you can't take it to court. So naturally, it could fall away because you can't bring your case in. You've lost the evidence. But other than that, if you've protected that evidence and the necessary witnesses have been recorded somehow or still alive or whatever the case may be, then...
There is no witnesses. There's no witnesses. That's why there's no way that her insurance company paid for it. They don't... I've been a truck driver my entire life, John. I've got my Class A CDL. If people could accuse other people of a cracked windshield, everybody would be doing it. It doesn't work that way. You don't do that.
I understand. But in any event, I was talking generally about any kind of a case as far as statute of limitation. There is no such thing as a statute of limitation in court. It doesn't exist. Only in civil law. So.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, John.
All right. You got it. All right. By the way, we only got one other person left in the queue. If anybody's got anything, now's the time to get in. Star 601 on the phone and hit the button on if you're coming in on a browser or an app of some kind. Okay, Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Mic's open, Ross. Okay, we got a couple of the callers came in. So, Ross, last call. Okay, we'll have to go to our next caller. Okay, we got 832 area code. What's your first name and your state? You got the mic.
Anthony Mitchell.
Anthony from where, Michigan?
No, Anthony Mitchell. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Okay, Anthony from Texas. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I was calling because I have a situation to where I'm scheduled for trial March 1st. And it's dealing with a firearm. An employee of mine left a firearm inside of my vehicle, and I was pulled over with it and taken to jail with it. So he came and he signed an affidavit, and he provided proof of his firearm. But since I have priors, they still taking it all the way to trial. They offered me some time. I did not take any of the pleas. So they threatened that they will enhance the charges and be offering me 25 to life if found guilty during trial. So wow. I'm wondering what can I possibly do to
have
help
you,
myself
have
with
the sheriff? Have you talked with your sheriff about this? Was it the sheriff that arrested you? I presume it was probably a police officer, no?
Yes, sir. It was HPD.
Okay. Now, you said you had priors. Are you on any kind of restrictions at this point in time?
No, sir. I've been off parole for 14 years now.
Okay. So that's long past you. They can't take your unalienable right away from you. You can lose. The people can take your right away from you. The people, you know, once you did commit a crime, you went to jail and you had to go through probation. And during that time period, you can't have a weapon. That's that. Especially if a weapon was used in a crime. But in any event, that's understandable. But after all that's done and over with, then you have a right to exercise that right. So they can't get you for that, number one. Number two, you know, you have the point that you weren't aware of the weapon being in the car and at the time, or did you see it and say, oh, goodness, I got it, and, you know, but then you still got stopped. I mean, what's the situation on that?
Well, I was unaware that the weapon was in the vehicle at the moment.
Okay, before the cop stopped you, did you, at that point before that, become aware of it, or after the cop stopped you?
After the cop stopped me, when he pulled it out.
Now, how did he see your weapon? Did he see it in the car somewhere?
No, when they pulled me out of the vehicle, they did a search, and I had...
Why did they pull you out of the vehicle? Why did they pull you out of the vehicle?
Okay, I had an active warrant at the time. They said I had a warrant for illegal dumping, something that I didn't even know about.
Well, that's a misdemeanor. It's not even a misdemeanor. I mean, it's just it's a fine. I mean, it's not a crime per se. You can get a fine for that, and it's understandable. But in any event, okay. So then they pulled you over, then they searched your vehicle. So you might be able to build a case out of that to begin with. You also have the documentation of the fact that it wasn't your weapon and it belonged to someone else, and that they left it in the car. And you should do an affidavit, the fact that you didn't even know it was in the car till they searched it out. So not long ago, there was someone, a friend of mine, and we were driving to a car somewhere, and he had a weapon, and I had a weapon, and we left it in the car. He put it under the seat, and I left mine in the car too, because I forget what we were doing. But in any event, he could have forgotten that, and that could have been a problem for me, because it's not my weapon, although I have a permit, nevertheless. But that's the other thing. You don't need a permit or anything to have a weapon, okay? Second Amendment protects you. The United States Supreme Court last year, I think it was, just last year, recently ruled on that, that the government has to, that your Second Amendment, they have to acknowledge your Second Amendment. They can't make a law to prevent you from having a weapon. So you should look that case up and get into the details, how much details. And there's other cases out there that you can use. The other thing is, when is your first court hearing?
I went through five different resets, and now I'm scheduled for trial.
Okay. Now, is there an indictment?
Yes, sir.
There is an indictment, yeah? And what's the indictment on? Do you recall particularly? Was it on codes?
No, I can't recall, but I can try and look it up.
Find out, because if they're getting you on a code, okay, a violation of this with a number and so on and so forth, and violation of that, that's all irrelevant. It has nothing to do with you. That's part of the argument. One of the things I would do with you, suggest for you, if I was in your situation, what I would do is I would try to drag this along as long as I can. Because you really, it's best to get onto the other side of devolution to deal with this. But there's a lot of things you could do. The problem is a lot of the ways you could protect yourself and the things you could do, a lawyer's not going to do for you, because they're bar attorneys and they play the game. They're not allowed to do it. They'll lose their... They claim to have licenses, but they don't really have licenses. They have a bar card. And if they take the bar card away, they won't let them in court to practice anymore. So that's the game they play. So they will not represent you in certain ways. They're not going to represent you in the common law. They don't even understand the common law. They're not going to argue jurisdictional things. There's a lot of things that they're not going to argue or do it. The other thing is intent, and that is the key. If they're calling this a crime, they need to prove intent. There was no intent because I didn't know it was in the car. He swore an affidavit. I got my affidavit. Cop did this, that, and the other thing, and that's when I discovered it was in the car. They kept that right there is a situation where the jury should set it free. They should set you free at that point because they don't have a case against you. And if your lawyer... Most lawyers are brain dead, unfortunately, but if your lawyer's not brain dead, he should figure this out himself. You got a lawyer at this point?
Yes, sir.
and he didn't bring this up to you?
No, he didn't.
Well, that's a problem.
He was saying that he was saying something about the cops violating policy, and that's what he said. He was trying to beat him on, but I was like,
I understand that, and yeah, okay, you can pursue that too. But the key thing is intent. It gets back to they're calling it a crime. In order for there to be a crime, there has to be an injured party, number one, and there has to be intent. Where's the injured party? Where's the intent? How come this lawyer, the lawyer should know that? That they can raise, that they can fight, that they can battle, that they can win. But they don't. I don't understand why they do this. Because they're morons, that's why. I'll tell you, every lawyer I've ever dealt with, half of them can't write. Most of them can't even write. They can't interpret anything correctly. And they're liars. Literally liars. I am so frustrated with these lawyers and their lies that I have a paper I'm writing right now, and I have to restrain myself from writing liar in the inside papers often enough, because that's what they do. But in any event, you know, you don't want to go into court and use that word. That's my point, but I'd love to use it. But the point is you need to talk to your lawyer and talk, and try to get to him this week. Come back next week. I'd love to know what he has to say about this. Tell him you talked with someone, you know, whoever, and they said that, look, there was no intent. In order for there to be a crime, there must be intent. There's no intent. You can prove the fact that there was no intent. You got your affidavit. Your friend that owns the gun got an affidavit. You didn't know it was in the car. There's no intent, number one. Number two, there's no injured party. See what he says about that.
Okay.
So I'd be concerned. Maybe a light bulb will go off in his head, and maybe you'll feel comfortable with him. But I'd be concerned in the fact that he didn't bring it up. But most lawyers wouldn't anyway, because like I said, they're brain dead.
Okay.
All right, anything else?
No, that's it.
I'm dying to hear back from you. If you talk to him this week.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to hear back on this. Okay?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, you're welcome. Let's take our next caller, a wireless caller, 312 area code. Give us your first name and your state.
Yeah, I'm Mary from Illinois, and I just want to thank you for all of the great information you have assembled on your website and the good work you're doing in educating folks on common law. My question has to do with something you brought up a few times today, the devolution and the potential for us to be in a continuity of government situation. And what is your view of the current situation? I notice you've organized, it looks like, all of the different states. You share about 11,000 members. But how can I, if I became a member, speed the devolution process or get us back to our republic? What is
that's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, is to bring the republic back, to take it back into the courts, bring back a court of justice, to activate the people on the grassroots level to have government by consent, to teach them how to have government by consent, by forming committees of safety, and by taking control of their juries. No person should ever be judged by a bureaucrat. That's unlawful in common law. It's not acceptable. Okay, you can only be judged in trial by your peers, your people. That's it. Okay, and that's key. And yet they do whatever they please to begin with. But this whole process, we've lost our Constitution. It's not in the courts. I've known this for over 20 years, or well over 20 years now. I've known that the Constitution is gone. It's been trampled underfoot. It's not there anymore. Bill of Rights, they don't care. You can raise all the issues you want in court. They're going to ignore you. Or they're going to shut you down and tell you, don't bring this up in the court. They won't allow your lawyers to bring it up in the court. And most people are incapable of defending themselves in the court. They don't know how the court system works. We teach all that. We teach every part of this, every part of the aspect of what we're talking about. We teach people how to do these things. But it's up to the people to step up and take control of their lives, and to get educated. Stop tweeting, stop watching TV, watch a little TV, just don't watch as much. Just spend more time educating yourself. You have to re-educate yourself. And we need to get a proper education in the schools. National Liberty Alliance is interested in putting together, I spoke with Brent, for those who know Brent, he's a common law lawyer. He used to speak a lot here. I talked with him recently. He's going to be coming back to speak some more. But the thing is speaking with him and going through all this stuff, you know, we have to take this whole system back. If we don't take our system back, you know, if we don't step up to do what has to be done, we're going to lose it all. Okay, so that's the key, is taking our courts back. And, you know, we can give you a lot of advice, but you have to learn to be able to do it yourself. And you have to step up and get your committees of safety, and we need to take control of our government on the local end, because all politics is local. Remember, all those clowns in Washington, D.C., well, you elected one of those clowns in your particular congressional district. So you need to get together with the counties that share your congressional district and make good decisions to get statesmen in there. You have to be able to recall these people, to pull them out of office when they break the law, as far as not obeying the Constitution, not honoring their oaths. You need to be able to know how to remove them from office. You need to take control of the school boards. Okay, and what Brent and I are going to do, we spoke about this a little while ago, is, you know, I've got quite a few books I've written, he's written books, and we need to get books into the school. We need to get good textbooks. I'd like to turn a lot of the work that I've done into textbooks for children, so that when they come out of school, they know how to deal with their problems and be able to go into the courts and defend themselves. They need to know how to drive a vehicle, okay? That should be taught in schools. They shouldn't have to go to the DMV and go through all that process and spend money and so on and so forth. You should just be able to, driving is an unalienable right, the right to travel, okay? So children should know how to do that. Every child should know how to use a weapon, both a handgun and a rifle. They need to know how to shoot it. They need to know how to load it. They need to know the safety about it. They need to be taught these things. And that's what schools should be doing, okay? Now, we need to bring it back to the school, so when our children come out of school, they've got all these tools. We got to take away the cell phones from our children. That may be a hard one, but people need to do it, because you're destroying your child. Your child is just getting lost by a whole bunch of psychopaths, sociopaths, that's the word I was thinking. You know, all those chat rooms, especially with the children. I've listened to children often. I listen to my nephew on these games and stuff. I'm just appalled. I wringed his neck a few times about this. Hey, what is wrong with you? Okay? The way he talks to people, the language they use, and it's the sociopath. They're all talking like this. All the kids are talking like this. When I was a kid, I would have been knocked across the room if I talked like that. But we're just accepting it. These cell phones shouldn't be allowed in school to begin with, okay? But they need a proper education. They need to be readers. They need to go back to reading. That's another thing that these cell phones do. It gets you into texting, you know, tweeting. And nobody's really thinking, and nobody's really reading anymore, you know? So we have to teach our children all that. But before we could teach our children that, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, you need to learn too. You need to get away from a lot of that stuff. Cell phones could be a good tool if you use them properly. You know, they're all computers and everything in it. I think they're way overpriced. I mean, some of these cell phones cost more than my computer does. But that's crazy. That's really crazy. But in any event, you know, they could be a good tool. Use it for the right thing. And maybe a little bit of enjoyment with, you know, this or that or the other thing. But the bottom line is people have to get back to reading. And if we don't do that, then society is going to be lost. We need an educated people in order to have liberty. If the people, as Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Forget about it. You can't have it. So people have to get active. Okay. Yeah.
Great, great insights. Thank you so much for the call.
And thank you.
And all the education. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, got a few minutes left. We got three callers in the queue right now. We'll see if we can get through them. Try to keep things short. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Ross, you're back again. Go right ahead. Maybe Ross has a problem with his mic or something. He is unmuted on our end. All right, last call for Ross. It's getting late. We got two other callers here. Okay, next caller. Is that Ricardo?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
You got the mic. Go right ahead. What state you're from?
North Dakota.
North Dakota. Go right ahead.
The Fargo guy. Say, are you familiar with the 18 U.S.C. 1001, the False Statements Accountability Act that was rewritten under Clinton? Oh, okay. I sent it.
I don't know. What's the number again? Is that the UCC 1?
18 U.S.C. 1001.
Okay. What is that? I'm not familiar.
It's the False Statements Accountability Act. The most recent one was signed October 11th, 1996, when Clinton was in office. And what that did, the Part B, is, and I sent that whole thing to the American intelligence media, did a complete research on the whole thing. And it was like hundreds of pages about it, but the first three, four pages tell it all. But what they did is they made it legal to lie. And that's why you hear so many people lying. That's why you and I are so fed up with their lies. And I kept going, what's going on? These people lie to a grand jury, and Clinton bragged about it. Or that Monica Lewinsky, he bragged about lying to a grand jury, and nothing happened to him. Well, what was American intelligence media it dug up was there about 3 years ago. They dug up that little statute. And I went online and looked up, and any of the president's signs is being recorded.
So you said this is USC 28, this is federal?
No, USC.
Yeah.
1001. It's 18, the number 18, USC 1001.
18 USC 1001.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Definitely going to
yes.
use that.
Part B. Well, Part A says if you lie into a judicial proceeding, a grand jury, or Congress, it's an automatic prison time. At the time Clinton was going through all that stuff with Monica Lewinsky, I was watching him. He said, I did not have sex with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. Right. And the way he said it, I was married to a psychopath, all right? They say things a certain way. In their mind, they do not lie. There's an oddball thing to think about. In their mind, my ex, she told me she doesn't lie. My sister told me she doesn't lie. Well, she lies when she says she doesn't lie. And but you can't get through to those people. And what's going on?
I know way too many sociopaths.
I call it the broken brain syndrome. Mm-hmm. And that's it's called dyslimbia is the real function. The limbic part of the brain is broken, and the Bible talks about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it also talks about it in 1 John 1:8. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, he who says he has no sin is deceived, and the truth is not in him. All right, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it says, and these people creep into households and take these weak-willed women. And I went to like 13 different translations. Every one of them says the gender women will creep into households and take these silly women, burdened with sin women, different ways they term it. And these women will be constantly seeking knowledge, but never come to an understanding of truth.
Yep.
Never. So I keep asking these Bible people, oh, yeah, God can do miracles. How long is never? And none of them will ever answer the question, how long is never?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody will answer it because they don't know. I say, it's never. And so what it means is they never come to an understanding of truth. Truth of what? Their sins. It just told you. They're burdened with sins, never come to an understanding of truth. So when you try to get them to apologize, they don't because they did nothing wrong. Oh, I'm going wrong. But that 18 USC
I agree.
Is what they brag about. They brag. They can lie all they want and nothing ever happens. And guess what? They got a law backing them up on it. And everybody knows about it except you and I until American intelligence media exposed it. It's one of those things that went into the archives. It's not there. There was a couple of laws that they quoted before it and after that he signed, but that one's not there. But it is on the hard copy. It's there. Oh, they're real clever how they hide things. And then the other one part I wanted to bring up is, who is our real enemy? It's just Freemason Society, which is part of the Pilgrim Society. Freemasons. And they posted, I can send you the website.
There's a lot of secret societies. They all play
yes.
gold.
And they're the king of that upper, secret society.
Yeah, the upper level, though, is connected ultimately right directly into the New World Order.
I mean. They're the ones that are controlling all these little small line. What do they call them? The Illuminati. They're kind of the top of the echelon. It's a level 33 Freemason.
It is a lot of them. I'm looking at this U.S. code right now, and I am familiar with this. I forgot that I'm familiar with this. It's a code I have used before for falsifying and concealing, covering up by trick or scheme, yep. That kind of thing. But I never really looked deeply into this, and I see here...
Go to B.
I think that's what you referred to. Subsection C does not apply to a party, to a judicial proceeding, or that party's counsel for statements, representations, writing, or documents submitted by such party or counsel to judge or magistrate in the that proceeding. So they neutralized it for themselves, is what
yes.
they see.
Yes.
That's a problem. Now, is there anything that corrects this, or no, that you're aware of?
Well, it's got to get repealed for one thing, but it's repugnant to the Constitution. So I would think right then and there, it's null and void. But
yes,
they use
exactly.
But
it's null and void. If it's null and
it's
void,
like
you don't need to repeal it. That you don't need to waste your time. It's null and void. It has no standing. It holds no office. It has no force.
And because of the status that
court,
they have,
but it does,
not a common law court. They're their own common laws.
It does eventually have to be struck, though. I mean, because you could beat it, as Eric said, null and void, it holds nothing. It's as if it never was. But that's a battle in the court. And if you take that battle through the court and you win, that needs to be fixed, because whether you win or not, it needs to be fixed anyway, because it's problematic. It's preventive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
It prevents preventing people from using it in a proper way.
And they've got the 9th District Court to approve it that they can do things. And they call it for national security interests. Anytime they bring that up, you know they're hiding something.
Yeah.
And it's a good old boys club. They just take care of each other. And that's why it's so hard to get anything done, because they'll lie and nothing happens to them because they know about it. And other thing that straw man book about they're under a secret code. Since 1938, there hasn't been supposedly any rules, backing up those other Supreme Court rulings about different things, and they have this little thing that they're under statutory, they're under corporatism.
Listen, our founding fathers, okay, they all belong to committees of safety, and they pull together from time to time, and they have their own legislators and everything back in the colonies and before we became states. And they called the Continental Congress on a couple occasions, of course, as we know. And with that being said, if we, the people, had committees of safety in most, or if not all, but at least most of the counties throughout America, collectively we can deal with the problem, because we can come together. We can do that easily on the Internet. And we could discuss issues and say, hey, look, there's a problem here. And we can point to this section right here, Section B, out of this particular code. What is it, 18 U.S.C. 1001. Okay, we could point to this point, and then we can require of our congressmen and our senators, okay, that they do something about this. Otherwise, we're going to deal with them. Okay, we're not going to get them back into office. Remember, the committees of safety are the true committeemen, and we will overwhelm the statutory committeemen. They'll fall apart through attrition alone, and a lot of those people are in there for good reason, but they're just being used, and they walk around collecting signatures for the enemy, and they don't realize it. When they realize it, they leave. And a lot of those people will come over into the committees of safety, because we're doing their job and a whole bunch more. And we could take control if we come together and take control of our congressmen collectively across the nation, statewide or nationwide, depending on our situation or our problem, what we're trying to get across and get done. And so we can control our senators, and we can control our congressmen, and we can recall them when they're not being obedient. We can require them to come and take the course that National Liberty Alliance gives for court access in the common law, so they understand the common law, which also teaches a good part of the Constitution. And we can require them to have their knowledge and obey the law, because they don't have the knowledge. They don't know the Constitution. I listened to some of these hearings, especially in the Senate, when they're going to approve these people to become judges. And these guys are pure morons. They don't even know anything about the Bill of Rights. They ask questions, and they don't know the answer. One I heard was asked about the Fifth Amendment. They didn't know the Fifth Amendment. Okay, these people are judges. Okay. And most of them are judges at administrative courts, and they're being brought right up into a court of record, which they have no ability to function in at all. And here and therein is the problem.
Isn't that what the Freemasons are all about, is getting people in the good old boys club? They handpick them? Like I've heard said many times, it's not an election, it's a selection.
But it's a lot more than the Masons. And again, you know, there's the lower level where the people that are in, and out of that lower level, they draw up certain people. They do look for sociopaths, psychopaths, and those are the ones they draw up. But they look for people, and on the lower end, they seem like they're doing good work. But as they move up the ranks, you know, they get more and more involved and more understanding, more and more situations, and they start to see who they can trust to bring in to be untrustworthy to the people for money's sake or whatever the case may be. So, yeah. You know, problematic. Anyway, we've got one other caller, and it's late.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anthony, last caller from West Virginia. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, there I go. Hello, Anthony from West Virginia. How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Doing all right, just trying to keep active here. I've been thinking about this devolution thing, and I've been running across some memes that I read on Gab. I'd like to be able to play just short-term devil's advocate with you, just to... Because I went through a phase, and I'm still maybe half in and half out of not trusting Trump. I was Trump's free supporter, put it that way, in West Virginia in 2016. I donated a lot of money to his campaign. He pulled me into his vision for the country. But then things happened during his presidency, especially with the COVID thing, and he's tend to push the vaccine. I kind of fell away, and I started thinking about, this is my testimony, okay? On this issue, I started thinking about what if Trump is just playing a really good role as part of the Hegelian dialectic. All right, and I believed that for a long time. And then something happened recently that kind of changed my thinking. It's still kind of there. You know, I still think that there's a possibility that Trump is not who he says he is, and I pray that I'm wrong. And I was just hearing about the Bolsheviks in Russia and how the Bolsheviks in Russia did the same thing that's happening now in our nation with Q, and with this devolution concept where we believe that the white hats are going to win and the white hats are working in the background. Well, there were no white hats working in the background against the Bolsheviks. And if this scenario is being played out by the same people, the same powers to be, is it possible that this devolution idea and, the idea that Q has got everything under control and he's just reassuring us that we're just being kept at bay and we're not doing anything about it because we're believing that something else is happening? What do you think about it? How do you respond to that?
Well, look, a lot of people aren't doing anything to begin with, okay, and that is what it is. It's unfortunate, you know, people, you know, I go to different places, people say all kinds of things, and they're gung-ho for this, and they call themselves patriots, and so on and so forth, but they don't do nothing. And when you get the opportunity, hey, there's something to do, let's go do it, they don't do anything. Okay,
that's my biggest problem, finding people to do things. They'll talk a blue streak until you ask them to actually do something and pin them down, and then they start talking about something else and walk away.
Right. Well, our founding fathers had the same problem. I mean, here's the thing. If Trump is the enemy, boy, he's done a hell of a lot of damage to them.
I know. He's got to be the best actor in the world, doesn't he?
And not only numerous things. But look at his family. His family is a good representation of himself because that's his family. And you look at his sons. You listen to them talk. And there's a lot going on there just by looking at the family. So that gives you some kind of an insight. The other thing is you know, Trump's a sinner. He's got certain problems, and you know, hopefully he's got a good relationship with the Lord, but that's between him and the Lord. But nevertheless, with that said, okay, there's a lot of great things about Trump. He's a man of honor, okay? And Trump comes from New York. I come from New York City myself, and we know Trump. Trump has always been looked at as a nice guy. He's been a people's person, even though he's been a billionaire. That's what a lot of people
do. Okay. I get that from people, too. When I share this with them, I get that. And I hope I'm wrong. I just pray that I'm wrong. I'm sharing this with you just to hear your side of it, so I'll shut up. You go ahead.
Now, devolution, there's a lot of stuff in devolution, and it's not just with, and Trump doesn't even bring up devolution. That's a Q thing. Q's been around for a very long time. I don't know how far back it goes, but I do know it goes back at least, and further than this, but I know it goes back at least to Lincoln's day. Q
really?
Oh, yeah. Q identifies with the military, and particularly with a situation that we're under a problem right now to secure the nation. So it goes back quite some time. There was a time, and this was brought up on numerous occasions, that Trump is still the president. There was a time when there were two presidents, and that you go back to Lincoln's day, there were two presidents. Well, there could be two presidents now. I do believe that there is. You know, there's the president of the U.S. Inc. and the president of the United States of America. So I think you know, that is part of the plan that's in this. A lot of people think so. I do, too. What strikes it for me is this, other than just looking at this, you know, again, you could tell a man by his fruits. And again, he's a sinner, so we're all sinners, so we have to accept that. And they'll pull his old sins back, and maybe he's still sinning those sins today. I mean, I don't know, between him and God. But looking at it from the perspective of what I see and what he's done, what he's revealed, it's pretty hard to think that he would be the enemy. Also, with the Q things, what's going on, a lot of people in the military that are talking, you know, matter of fact, on our Q page, you have a couple of people that come up right away. This guy right here, I'm trying to think of his name, let's see, Derek Johnson, okay, he's one. But there's a few of them, okay, that are coming up there talking about what's going on in the military, what the codes are, what Q is all about, all this information. Matter of fact, you'll find that, I believe, on this page here. So, now for me, it goes beyond that, because you know, I take it into, I don't want to get into a Bible thing here, but I look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 requires nations, and which identifies with Leviathan, ultimately, Leviathan, Satan. Nations and Leviathan must be judged before Christ comes. And we are at a point that I do believe we're very near that time period. And the Bible is clear. It says when man says peace and safety at last, that's when sudden destruction comes. So judgment day may be just around the corner. How close it is, I don't know. Nobody knows what the day and hour is. And, you know, a lot of times people thought that. I myself thought that for a while. But the Bible's pretty clear, I think, at this point. So we can't talk about, you know, when that might happen. But Isaiah 14 talks about Leviathan being judged and the nations being judged. And that's what I think we're going to see right now. I think that's what this devolution movement is all about, because this isn't just here in America. This is a joint action between many, many countries. Many countries are involved in this. And think not that Russia and China are not involved with it, because they are. China's got a lot of problems, just like the United States has problems. You know, there's two governments sort of working. You know, you got the president there, which I do understand, and we'll find out eventually, that he really wants to bring things back to order and get rid of the commies. But then you got that communist control over there in China also, so he's walking a fine wire. But I do think that he's in the game to get rid of the New World Order. You know, Russia has been fighting for against the New World Order going back into the beginning of the 20th century, you know, where they got rid of the czars, or was at the end of the 19th century. And they got rid of the czars, they killed off the czars, and they turned it into a communist structure.
That's right. The Bolsheviks.
Yeah, and they fought this for a long time, but Russia was able to free themselves from it. When the USSR collapsed and Russia separated, which is the biggest chunk of it, they were able to get away from that. And I do believe, with no doubt in my heart from things I've seen and heard, that Putin is working also to get rid of the New World Order. Lots of nations are, lots of them. So militaries around the world, I think, are being poised to make a move. So this is not just a United States thing, because dealing with this problem only in the United States is not going to solve the problem, because they're still out there. And the other problem is if it was just the United States, it's only a matter of time before they take us back again, because people are not doing what they have to do to take control of their nation. They're not exercising their unalienable right of government by consent. So therein is a major problem for us. So, that's why Benjamin Franklin said, and I don't know if it's a true story. I've heard it was and I heard it wasn't. But
I think it's true. Sense. Given you a republic, if you can keep it.
Yep. So Benjamin Franklin said that, and that's where we're at today. We have a republic if you can keep it. I get sick to my stomach, literally sick to my stomach, every time. And I hear this 2-3, maybe more times a day. Somebody somewhere, a power and authority, or a newscaster, or something, calls us a democracy. And some of them who
and Trump does that too, though. Why does Trump do that?
Exactly, he did. It really irks me that they don't know that we're not a democracy. That democracy is only a step to an oligarchy. That's its sole purpose.
That's exactly right. It's like the first step. Our founding fathers hated democracy.
Absolutely,
they hated secret societies. You were talking about the nations. The Masonic Order touts George Washington as being, one of the Masonic Order, and he was. But he rescinded his membership. He turned it down.
He may have been on the lower level, okay, because they did seem to be doing good work. But once you start to climb the ranks, and he certainly would climb the ranks rather quickly because of his positioning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when he found about it, then maybe that's what he did. But no, I don't believe in any way.
I did a study on that about 2001, 2002. I did a study on that. I wish I had one of my old computers back, the hard drive, that I can get all of that information. That's kind of, the details are all lost. But none of our founding fathers liked the secret societies. It was the second president of the United States who said our country is only made for a moral and a religious person that's not fit to serve any other. I think it's righteous or religious. I'm probably misquoting it exactly,
but that's the idea. You quoted it pretty right, because I did a paper on this, and I also did a PowerPoint on this, which is a PowerPoint video, which we do have up online. And maybe one day, one of the evenings, one of our Monday evenings, maybe we'll play that thing. I don't think it was too long. I think it was 20 minutes long.
That was John Adams who said that.
Yeah, I think it goes, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people only. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
Exactly. Thank you.
And that was Adams, right? That was Adams.
Yep, that was John Adams.
Correct. And then, of course, his cousin Samuel, he's got a bunch of great quotes, but one about true liberty, and John, you've got this on the website somewhere, I think. True liberty is being free of any man-made law.
Yep.
So that's his cousin, so that's another great one.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a copy of America's God and Country, quotes from our founding fathers and other leaders?
Well, we've got a lot of quotes from our founding fathers.
A great book.
But I have
Bill Federer, I think it was, that wrote it. Federer is his last name.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the book, but I've done
it's
a lot.
It's a great book.
We've got a lot of stuff on our website on that. But what I'd like to say here is this, and maybe we'll bring ourselves close to the closing here. And
right.
That
don't
is,
want to keep you.
I just wanted to read this. This is James Madison, and Federalist Paper number 10. James Madison, quote, "Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention. have ever been found incomparable with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. And that sums it up. And there's not an inkling of democracy in our structure as a republic. Now, it makes sense to elect people, you know, by majority rule, because the people elect, but our president isn't elected by the majority vote. That's a different process set up for that. But of course it makes sense for the people to elect their own officials. But that does not make us a democracy. And people get fooled by that, thinking that
that's
a democracy. No, we're not. We're a republic. We're a people of law. Okay, and that's why, since they've convinced everyone that that we are a democracy, and they started this. This started this a long time ago.
Long time ago.
The Democratic Party came into being. It was the Federalists who morphed into the Democratic Party as the turn of the century. So something like 1780 or something, 1790 something, when I forget what year particularly, but the Democratic Party came into being. The Republican Party came into being primarily to stop slavery. And it was 2 years, or I think it was, before Lincoln became president, and he was part of that process of bringing the Republican Party together to get rid of slavery. But, these people, they think we're a democracy. They get out there and they debate our rights, and people actually allow that to go through. If people understood that we're a republic and that's the law, and that we are the people ordained and established that law for them to obey, and there is no right for them, it's an unalienable right, that they can't take these things away, our unalienable rights, that is, then it'd be a different thing. But people are allowing their rights to be whittled away. And through democracy, you know, through the whole process, you know.
So, well, you know, the bigger the lie, the louder it's repeated, the more often it's repeated, it gets believed. And then once it's believed, when you tell the truth, people don't know what to think. They right. just believe what they believe.
Right. Especially your children's children's children, because they have no...
Exactly.
They never even heard the truth.
And hey, say, John, I think that I hear Trump say things that I think he's more aware of than he lets on, but he uses the mainstream language just for efficiency's sake. I think he knows we're not a democracy. I really believe he knows better.
Yeah.
I hope you're right. Did you see that interview with him with Tucker, and where he was saying, "Well, I am the president of everybody." He spoke in the present tense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that interview.
And I'm thinking, well,
he's made
okay,
a lot.
You're my president, you know. He's still my president. We voted for him.
Yeah, he made a lot of statements like that, and not too long ago, he made a statement that he was going to run for a third term, but not run for a third term, that he was going to serve a third term, something mm-hmm. like that. And that means that he's still the president during this term.
I appreciate you playing along with me in my devil's advocate thing, and I'm not really in a quandary about it, but I believed for so long that there could be a Hegelian dialectic happening here with Trump, but he would have to be the best actor in the world. The thing, one of the things that bothers me is his connection to the powers that be through the Talmudic Jews that seem to be they were behind the Bolsheviks, and they were behind not Black Lives Matter, but the NAACP. They started the NAACP, and they put Rosa Parks on the bus to get all that going. And to me, I people may not like me saying this, but if you look back at George Wallace and the way George Wallace talked, he wasn't a racist, but I believe he was right when he was saying that we need to keep keep our cultures separate. And I think that's what he was fighting for. And then they shot him. They didn't kill him, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't want to open up cans of worms here, but, you know, there's just a lot going on here.
I think we have to with a statement like that, and we have to define that a little more clearly, but we got to be very careful with that. If you're talking about separating us from other nations, of course, that's one thing. But we are the melting pot, and, you know, you go down to different places, and it's, you know, different peoples, but they have a, you know, at least back in the day, you know, when I was younger anyway, you know, the patriotism was very different. It was a common thing.
Yeah.
And
I think, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting you. I do that a lot. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We got to end the program anyway because it's.
Right. Anyway, I don't want to leave a stigma there. Okay. So, but I used to drive school bus in East Palo Alto, which just while I was driving there, I think it was still the murder capital of the world before Washington, D.C. took over that and then maybe Chicago. And, you know, I transported these people, and they wanted to go to their own schools. They had their own high school, but it wasn't even being used. And, you know, their kids spend time on the school bus to go back and forth. And that's the kind of stuff that George Wallace was against.
Mm-hmm. Look at
people
need to be mixed. People need to go where they want to go. People need to do what
absolutely. They want. I go to a black church, but I'm saying that most of the people that go to my church were they're people of color, however you want to say it. I love the word Negro. I think the you talk to elderly black ladies or colored ladies or however you want to put it. They like to use the word Negro themselves. They like the word Negro, but they grew up in a different era.
Yeah, but again, you know, well, that Negro really means black. It's still the same thing.
It is. In Spanish, it's directly translated to black.
Yeah,
exactly. Negro. They pronounce it Negro in Spanish, Negro. Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to digress. God bless you. I think we're going to start picking you up on your Bible study Wednesday night. So look for me to check in on the Bible study, John.
Yeah, we're going to be going into the book of Matthew in probably 2 weeks, and I'm really anxious to get that study going. So
Great. Sounds good. All Thank right. you so much for hanging out with me a little bit longer. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, thank you. For the call.
You're welcome.
Ricardo, bye-bye. I'll give you just a minute on the mic because we want to close down, but go ahead, Ricardo.
I just wanted to add something on there. I had sent into Maine, whatever, NLA. There's a couple of books that I referred people to. I don't know if they read it, but Eustace Mullins. I sent the PDF for the whole book, and I just put a little verbiage in there. Eustace Mullins, The
Curse
of... Send
it to Mail, M-A-I-L, National Liberty Alliance.
Yes.
When did you send it? I didn't, you know, I missed
ago.
A lot of that.
Two days ago.
I didn't see it. If you could send it again and just make a note, PDF attached, and simple, you know.
Hey, which Mullins book?
Eustace Mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S. There's another
you
fake
know,
one.
You know, but which of his books?
Okay, there's the New World Order, he calls it, but the one that I like the most is two, was called Murder by Injection. He gets in the entire history of Rockefeller and the whatever, but you just go look at the chapters on it. But the one that I really wanted to get people to, in addition to the Murder by Injection, is the Curse of Canaan, The Demonology of History. The Curse of Canaan, Demonology of History, A Demonology of History. And that's by Eustace Mullins. Read the preface, the foreword, chapter 1, 2, and chapter 10 and 11, and you'll have the whole big picture of what's been going on. What's Russia really all about? And who is this all about? But the one thing I'm going to mention to you, it's all about the Shem and his descendants. All of this stuff is. All these wars, all this stuff that he's doing. And Nimrod is when it started and Canaan started that Freemason society. They were the ones that got that thing. But he was a 50-year employee of the Library of Congress. Did a little background on the guy. A 50-year employee of the Library of Congress. He was considered a genius at researching things. And he's the one that exposed the Federal Reserve and all its little stooges that were set up by the Rothschilds. And he exposed them. He was gotten on TV shows and narrative shows. And boy, every time somebody put him on, that program disappeared.
He'll
tell you that he was harassed a lot for writing these books that he was writing. And
he wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island before G. Edward Griffin did. Yeah, he wrote that book. And
yeah.
Yeah, and G. Ed's is a lot like his, but he leaves some particular information out, as I understand it.
Well, he gets into names, a lot of names. He'll bore you to dirt. But when you find this is a good old boys club, and that's why I say that, all their descendants continue on with what great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers did. It just goes down the line. You know, you get Schiff. You're going to see some names in Schiff and all these names familiar in the Congress right now. And, you know, the black societies and whatever they were called in on Sicily. But the thing that I got into, and I've read the book a couple of times. I listened to an audio on YouTube, and I thought, well, I'm just going to go back and read it again. So I read the first part, the preface, the foreword, and I read chapter 1 and 2. Go to page 16 of chapter 1. In there, that's why I tell you to do that. Go to page 16, and you're going to see what Canaan's last will and testament was. And he's going to get into what that is. But it's quite whoa. And you start looking around, everything that's going on right now, and he talks about these Shem. I saw a thing, and I forgot about this one. The Russian, those whatever they call themselves, from 1917 to 1987, they had wiped out over 70 million Russian people. And all these Russian people were descendants of Shem. He gets into the gory details of what they were doing, putting these people in prison. He describes, Solzhenitsyn, whatever his name, that Russian novelist, he wrote about that. He wrote about it, and how horrible. They don't shoot anybody; they chop you up. It's all about bloodletting.
Are you talking about the USSR, or are you talking about Russia?
Both.
Yeah.
How the USSR came into being, what it was all about,
I think Russia, once they broke up, I really do. I believe that Russia's trying to make peace. And
yes.
Wants to live without the war, yes. And wants to stop, yes, all the nonsense.
Yes.
And whatever they want to do as a people, that's their business. I mean, eventually, by exchanging information, communicating, sharing things, and working together, and purchasing from each other.
I'm going to say to you, without going into a lot more detail, read those chapters I gave to you, and all the things you're talking about is going to all fall into place. It's been a plan for 3,000 years. It's called The Curse of Canaan.
What chapters?
Chapter 1 and 2, 10 and 11.
Okay.
Pay attention to chapter 1, page 16. It's 15 or 16. When it's the curse of Canaan, right in the middle paragraph in the page.
All right. Send a book and the PDF book. Now, this is no longer copyrighted. We can post it if it's a good book.
I don't see anything in there. He just said it's like a free thing. You can get it for free all over the place.
Good. Then we'll put it.
That's how I got it. He just didn't want anybody changing what he did. I think whatever he did, he had to publish his old book. He couldn't get anybody to publish any of his stuff. Yeah. And, but can you imagine having access to the Library of Congress for 50 years? He knew where to look. And one thing about these creeps, they always keep records of everything they do.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, I'll send it to you.
Do you want
me to send it to your attention or just...
No, just put it to mail at National Liberty Alliance, but put in a PDF download attached to something up on the subject matter or something, and we'll recognize.
Well, on the top it says the Curse of Canaan.
Yeah, well, on the subject matter, just put that in, Curse of Canaan, if you want.
That's what it says in the subject matters. Okay. I'll add some more stuff in there.
When you mail it, make sure you put that in the subject matter.
I will do that.
As we end in here, I just want to make a note here concerning, Trump, this particular video right here, which is found under today's issues, down on devolution. Devolution, right here, this page here. This very first video is Derek Johnson, okay? And he has legislative proof. This is a powerful video. Legislative proof Donald Trump is the commander-in-chief. And he lays this all out in this video. And he's not the only one. There's a lot of other stuff going on. He's put out a lot of info on this stuff.
Do the other one that I wanted to make sure you guys get. It's called The God Culture. The God Culture. And .com. And he's got hundreds of videos so far now. But he started out where I got involved when I was living over in the Philippines 7 years ago when I met my wife. And I started reading that stuff there. It was In Search of Solomon's Gold series. There's like 15 or 16 videos on it. But he's got one in there about the Jews. Just do the God Culture. You can do it on YouTube and just look for all of our stuff. And you go pick whatever one you want. But you mentioned Jews tonight. Are they really descendants of Hebrew? are the Hebrew descendants. Okay, that's, I've been asking that question for a long time. And they go into ancient, ancient documents that they found. The oldest book known to mankind is the Book of Enoch, the Book of Enoch. Now, if anybody knows about Enoch, he was like the sixth son of Adam. And he walked with God.
Adam, and that was before the flood, so nothing from
yes.
that to survive.
Yes.
So,
well,
could come. And if you have, do you have a copy of the book or the Book of Enoch?
Yes, you can get it free from them, or you can buy the hardcover.
I'll take a look at that to see if it has any validity. I've looked at numerous books that claim to be part of the Word of God, and they're not.
Well, one of the things they do, they start off and they end off, is prove all things. And that's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. My dad told me that when I was in high school. Prove all things. Don't let people spoon feed you what they want you to know. He always challenged people, prove it. Prove us wrong. We'll listen to what you have to say, but they won't listen to you until you've listened to what they have to say. And at the and in their website, they also give all their sources, everything, wherever they got, all they got. Oh, they've done some. They've done their homework. They really have. And the Jews, the lineage, the Garden of Eden. What is the Garden of Eden? Well, they've traced it. It's in the Philippines. It's down, it's on the ground.
All I got. I don't want to get into a Bible conversation here.
This is all what's going on right now.
But I would like to just say this one thing. All these books that they claim to be that is part of, that God wrote, you know, God wrote the scriptures. Man did not. Okay? They penned it. Holy men of old spake or wrote as God the Holy Spirit moved them. Word for word, every syllable, everything. Even the historical facts, they all are parables.
Yes.
And that's the key. The signature of the Holy Spirit is prophecy. The Bible says that prophecy is the signature of the Holy Spirit. So if you can't lay that book out next to the other 66 books of the Bible with perfect harmony at a spiritual level, line upon line, precept upon precept, parable, historical parable, every historical issue and every historical fact in the Bible is also a historical parable. It has a spiritual.
You will enjoy the one they have about the canon.
If you lose that balance, if you lose that harmony between the books, then it doesn't belong in there. That's why we know the 66 books are the proper books, okay?
And for a fact? Watch your stuff and then tell me.
Well, I'll take a look at the book. I'll tell you right off the bat. Because
and there's all the Book of Jubilees, another one, and then the Book of Esdras.
Well, I haven't. I could tell you the books that I have read, okay?
Yes.
I've read the Maccabees 1, Maccabees 2, the Book of Wisdom, and I could tell you almost immediately from reading that, I knew immediately that they were not part of the Word of God. They were books by other men. And any book that is before before the flood, any book, that's gone. It doesn't exist. And so, therefore, it would have to be a claim that it came from God in order to get what took place before the flood. But we shouldn't. Let's put this in a proper place. This isn't the venue for this.
So, the Qumran is what they'll talk. But you'll get into that. Just get on his website. Just pick something. He's got all kinds of titles. Just pick something you might be interested in. I was interested in about the Jews. I was interested in about the Qumran.
I'll be honest with you. I got too many things going on that I have to read, study, and research. My time is minimum. I have to select. I can't, you know, because
there's a lot of things that you didn't know about the False Statements and Accountability Act, and, you know, just little bits and pieces, little things in here. But what he's doing, the summary of what he's doing is exposing all these so-called scholars that claim they talk to God, that claim they have all this stuff. And he's going back to the original documents that they found. They have found it. The oldest book to mankind was the Book of Enoch. It was written by Enoch walked with God, and it was not for God took him. Well, what was he doing? Enoch wrote the Book of Enoch himself. He refers a lot to him in first person in that book.
Enoch could not have written the book.
Why?
Why? Because he was before the flood. Nothing would have survived. Look, the fact that we have anything but what happened before the flood is because of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, which was penned by Moses but dictated to him by God. Every word, every syllable, line upon line, precept upon precept. Perfect balance, you know, not one word added by man in that book. Now, you could test that. Anybody who's a student of the Bible can test that. If you spend a lot of time in the Bible and you do these word studies and phrase studies going back to the original Greek and the original Hebrew, which is very easy to do through Strong's or Young's analytical concordances, and you go back, you'll find that perfect harmony. Again, it is the signature of the Holy Spirit. You'll see it clearly. Okay, mm-hmm. It's like, look at, you're going to get on a phone with an, let's say you got on your phone with your father, okay, and your father's talking, sounds just like him, but it's not your father, because you know it's not your father, because he's bringing things up that your father wouldn't say or act that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be off. It's the same thing. Anybody spends a lot of time in the Bible, it would be off. It wouldn't work, and it wouldn't harmonize. So, but we'll save that for another.
Yep. Check out that God culture, and you can decide after you've listened to what he says, because they always cite all their sources and stuff. And there's the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Enoch, Book of Esdras. These are all books that we don't have that they're claiming should have been in that Bible that we have. And who wrote those 66 books? It was done by the Catholics.
I'll tell you what I suggest. It's the same thing with our Constitution. Yeah. You know, before we want to add anything to it, why don't we first use what we got, figure out what that says and what that means. Same thing with the Bible.
That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing.
Figure that out.
Yeah, but he's exposing these scholars. They're not really telling you what God has said. They've changed it.
That's true. Yeah.
And he says the Catholics were the ones that put together that canon that we've got right now. That was done in 1500.
We don't want to cause separation between people. Everybody's in a different place, so.
No, he's not talking about followers of God. He's talking about those who try to get you off to a different trail. And he exposes all that stuff, and that's what he's really doing. And he exposes the scholars, these so-called Pharisees. You know, Yahushua reprimanded them many times. They're traditions of men rather than the commandments of God. And, you know, all the statutes and things. That's what they're doing now. All these statutes they add to our Constitution. So it's nothing new under the sun, like Solomon wrote. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything was. And he's got a lot of good stuff in it. Just go down. You can listen to the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes of it, whatever you want. But you can get the book. Right at the end of every one of those videos, he always gives you a place where you can get the Book of Enoch, the Book of Ezra, the Book of Jubilees. And those are things that you and I don't have. But they were written a long time ago.
This is at godculture.com?
Yeah, thegodculture.com, yeah.
Say it again. Godculture.
Thegodculture.com. I'll send in that email.
Did you say something else before God? It was just God culture.
The word the, T-H-E.
The God culture. Okay. I thought you said word before that.
Yeah.
I will give you my real quick thoughts next week. I'll look at the Book of Jonah.
He's got on there, and they've got PDFs that you can download.
I'll either see the signature of the Holy Spirit right away or I won't. It's that simple.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty easy test for anybody that's a student of the Bible.
Yeah. You got it. You got to know that what you're reading is what you are reading. And I'm the same way. I always look at things and I think, this doesn't feel right. And so what got me on those guys is because of the Search of Solomon's Gold series. And he got in there. They traced where the Philippines is, the Garden of Eden. It's still there. And that's what Enoch is.
Again, let's,
so anyway, that stuff you'll find out for yourself.
We only want 12 o'clock
from you.
We got
to
go.
Yep. We'll listen to you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. Yep, you're welcome. Thank you. I got to go too.
I'll just make a quick note on it next week and what I think about it coming to the box.
Sounds good.
But we're not going to get into a long discussion because it's not a proper venue.
No. Okay? Well, it's all part of what we're going through. And what I'm referring to is the Freemasons. That's where they all originate. Mullins will talk about that. It's been going on for 3,000 years, nothing new. And everybody exposes to where it's coming from, what's going on. That's all part of what we're dealing with. And if we don't understand our enemy, and that talks about that in Ephesians, you've got to know your enemy. And the master deceiver is who? Satan. And that's why we got to keep both eyes open. Like this guy was, I'm doing the same thing. Is Trump who he says he is? Because remember, you got to understand with this Antichrist, when he comes into power, he's going to deceive the whole world. He's going to be a smooth talker. He's going to be very popular.
Here.
Yeah, so.
He's got control.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean God can't use
him. You got to go. We got to go. I don't want to get into the discussion now. We could discuss this when we open up for the Bible if you want.
Yep. You betcha. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. See you next Monday. And till then, good night.